Hi, and welcome to V Conversations, the podcast from V, where we'll discuss what makes V an exciting place to work and what our colleagues are doing across the company to put it at the forefront of innovation in ship management and marine services. I'm Sam Shaw, and in this episode, I speak to Renee Coford-Olsen, your CEO, and Katie Lee, Director of Culture and Engagement, about how our colleagues are doing things differently, both at sea and on shore. In our conversation, we discuss why both of them believe V Group staff are the organization's most important asset, the work they're doing to create a supportive culture across the company, and how they're planning to equip onshore and offshore employees with the tools and training they need for the future. Renee and Katie, welcome to V Conversations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you both. Katie, I'd like to start with you, if I may. Your job title, Director of Culture and Engagement, what exactly does that entail on a day-to-day basis? What are some of your main priorities?
Okay, well, it is quite an interesting role, and I do get asked about it a lot. And I think, you know, culture is becoming more and more of an important topic for organisations, particularly one the size and diversity of ours. So every office we have, every vessel, every person in the organization, they all come with some element of their own culture. So part of what my role is trying to communicate our organizational culture across the company, so that we have a common code, if you like, a simple set of beliefs that can help guide everybody in how to act and how to make decisions in the day-to-day. So in practical sense, a lot of my job involves communication, looking at initiatives that we can, communicate our values to our seafarers and to our shore offices. For me, you know, I've got the benefit of sitting in the same office as Renee, you know, so there has to be a clear and consistent message from the top. So I have access to that at least, and having worked with Rennie before, you know, I've got quite a clear idea of what the expectations are around how we should be behaving. So my role is really to take that message and tailor it to our sort of diverse audience and try and communicate it as effectively as possible.
Because I imagine you've mentioned about sort of the diversity, and you've got sort of, you know, tens of thousands of people working offshore and then obviously a very large number of people working onshore as well. Do you need to kind of address that in slightly different ways and communicate it differently given the working environments that they're each in?
Very much so, yes. So the language that we use onshore, for example, in corporate communications is very different to the communication we use with our seafarers. And even on board the vessels, we have to tailor it to different national cultures and languages. So yes, there's a lot of tailoring that needs to go into the messages, yeah.
And you've touched on the company values and sort of that being led from the top down. So again, how do you maintain that on a sort of a day-to-day basis when you have got this breadth of employee base?
So it's looking at how do we translate our values into specific behaviours and what does it mean for everybody in the organisation? So part of the work that we're doing is putting together the V Way, and this is helping to visualise what the values mean in day-to-day life. So if we take care, for example, this is perhaps the value that I identify with most. It's one of my personal core values as well. For me, it means caring about making an impact. How are we having an impact on others? It's about putting in the time to understand problems properly, making sure that we're empathizing and considering the impact that our actions have on others. And it's also about perhaps taking the more difficult path if that will end up in the best outcome. So everybody's got their own interpretation of the values. What we need to do is understand what it means to everybody and then work out, you know, how does that translate into the behaviors that we want to see day to day.
Yeah. Okay. And Renee, when Katie's talking about that care, whether that's care for colleagues, your customers, the company as a whole, it's all ultimately down to people, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I know a lot of companies claim that people are their best asset. It's become a little bit of a cliche, dare I say. How do you see that? Like, what does that mean to you from your perspective?
No, basically, we can't afford to make it a cliche in our business because literally it's our asset. We don't own the vessels that we are operating. We're operating them on behalf of our trusted clients. And so for us, truly, when we say people are our most important asset, it is as robustly true as you can sort of get it. So for us, it's all about creating a community of trust between our people, whether you are on one of our smallest vessels, whether you're one of our biggest vessels, whether you're sitting in one of our 30 offices across the globe. It's to understand the culture of the company that Katie actually referred to, that we have a uniformity in the way we think, the way we think about safe practices, operational stewardship, and customer care. And for us, a customer may be one of our clients who owns a multitude of ships, but an internal customer would be one of our seafarers aboard one of our ships. So for me, we are a people company, first and foremost. And that's the credo, really.
And do you, as you gain scale, is that something that becomes more difficult to maintain that unity, that consistency?
Yeah. So the way I sort of look at the journey the company has been on, and certainly over the past few years, is sort of moving a new strategy, which we set out to do 3 years ago. You sort of have all the strategic intentions. Then you build a structure that sort of will support that, those intentions and those visions. And the rest of it is culture. The rest of it is ensuring that our colleagues are educated of where we are going, and that you keep at it. And this is probably one of my biggest roles, is to communicate, is to be present, is to listen, is to adapt, and ensuring that we are going in the right direction. I see myself as the one with the binoculars that looks 5 years into the future, and helping guiding the ship in that direction. Because, you know, I always say that tomorrow we can probably do 5% better than we do today. And so it's all about ensuring that we celebrate when things goes in the right direction, and we learn when we are a little bit off course, which is also fine. Because if we don't weigh a little bit off course, we don't learn and we don't try. And I think that's important. But I think Katie put it really, really well. We have a fantastic diversity across the globe. And so we are not single-minded on a single market. We are actually present everywhere. And that means that it is very important that we remain adaptive and we understand local cultures and local ways, and we don't just try and shoehorn our ideas that have been set through a particular view of the world into every place of the world. We're actually trying to be very adaptive.
And I guess, yeah, when you have got that sort of that breadth globally, then collaboration must be really important to encourage as well. So what, can you give me an example, for example, when you've got, you know, these different people in different roles, an example of some good collaboration across those?
Yeah, it's one of our values. Katie referred to our values. It's actually also one of our values. I think collaboration went on steroids during COVID, didn't it? When actually you had to find ways to solve puzzles, challenges, you know, client opportunities on a Teams call, far away from everywhere. So I think we took collaboration to a completely different level of acceleration in our company. I think if you ask for an example, so if you today would put a work group together to solve a certain challenge, you wouldn't just look around the office. You would actually say, well, I need somebody from this background, I need somebody from this toolbox, and I need somebody who fundamentally will challenge everything we think is right in that work group. And from a cost perspective, or time zone perspective, or travel perspective, it could be difficult in the past, but today you can do it seamlessly across the world. And what I'm looking particularly forward to is when we get even more of the low orbit satellites across the world, because you imagine that the build out of the satellite network was pretty much over the landmass. Today, with Starlink and other suppliers, you will actually start getting over the ocean as well, which is 71% of this planet. So I predict that we will have Zoom calls and Zoom engagements and collaboration, including our captains and chief engineers and mates aboard the ships, in a way that we can't even imagine today. That's where I think that it's going. So collaboration will go not only from a land perspective, but actually in shipping, we will involve to a completely different extent our seafarers in day-to-day.
I think that's a really good example of where innovations, like you said, it was accelerated during COVID, and now that's obviously where sort of the future's headed. Katie, is that, what else are you doing in that, on that side of things, in terms of, you know, innovating and how that's sort of bringing the culture into, you know, today, perhaps?
Well, it kind of links to collaboration, but it brings me on to the topic of employee welfare. You know, how do we support our employees? And this, you know, this is important for every employee, feeling that they can show up to work feeling their best, fit and healthy, and enjoying their work and feeling, you know, a sense of achievement for the effort that they're putting in. So, and I strongly feel that as leaders, we should be making it as easy as possible for people to do their jobs. And that can be through a range of different things, like reducing bureaucracy, handling conflict, or providing resources, but it's also helping our employees feel fit and healthy. So there's a lot of different programs that we offer through VCare, and it includes professional counseling, nutrition guidance, physical exercise and health tips. So there's lots of resources available. And the reason I actually thought about it was, you know, Rennie talking about collaboration, it's a really good point. And it makes me think about, you know, not just support services that we provide, but also a very supportive culture. And that's something that I was really impressed by when I first joined V, was this idea that whenever we have a problem, we don't blame each other. We actually all rally together, come up with a collective solution. And what I really liked was the fact that when there's so many people involved in deciding on a course of action, there's this collective ownership for the outcome as well. So it doesn't feel like you're one person carrying the burden. And I saw that a lot through COVID. You know, a simple crew change being delayed, I would join a call, it would be a Saturday morning, but there'd be like 10 of us on this call, lots of senior managers from all over the world, you know, brainstorming how are we going to get around this. And it was just great. I felt very proud to be part of a culture like that.
And do you think, is that, I imagine those are the kind of things that when it comes to recruitment and employee engagement, those are the kind of things why people would perhaps select your business versus a competitor? Are those, like, how crucial are those in those kind of conversations?
Certainly, talking to our seafarers, you know, there's two main things that keep them with V or attract people to work with V. So there's our size and our global reach, which obviously provides a lot of good career opportunities, and the fact that we look after our people. So seafarers, when they join us, they feel that they've got access to these opportunities and that they will be, you know, transferred across if there's vessels sold, or if a job doesn't suit them, we can find another opportunity for them. So I think that is a big selling point, and one that we are working on promoting. You know, we're spending a lot. One of our projects is to map out all of these different diverse career pathways make sure people are aware about them, and also how they can progress. So that's definitely one that's helping us to attract the next generation of talent.
Yeah, it's something that I wanted to pick up on actually is when it comes to training and development. Renee, what else is the business doing to sort of equip the seafarer of the future, for want of a better phrase?
We're having this conversation. I think that's important. I think communication, you know, and ensuring that people understand this is where we're going as a company, and why can I identify myself in working here. You know, when I joined shipping 30 years ago, I'm actually that old. You know, people joined either on land or directly on ship, and then went on land. But principally, people joined, including myself, to see the world eventually, because shipping was sort of the place where either you sailed around the world or you traveled around the world, because particularly if you were in a global organization, that was the case. And for seafarers particularly, that was what it was. And so seafarers went out. I'm sure they had an agreement with their families once they made a commitment to a family, and then they would go out, and then they would come back after 3, 4, 5, 6 months, whatever it was. Today is a little bit different, and I suppose the challenge is that the home is with you, because you now have communication tools, and luckily for that you have mobile phones and you have social media and so on. So we need to adapt to that. We need to ensure that we embrace all the technologies that is available for us. I spoke about low orbit satellites before, but for us, it's very, very important that seafarer welfare and employee welfare and job opportunities, whether you are in one of our offices or one of our ships, are being looked after. So we spend a lot of resources on ensuring that the companies that we have in our portfolio, let me talk about our catering, for instance. It's not just a catering company delivering a meal. It's a welfare company. We are doing meal plans. We are thinking about cultural differences in terms of what we're eating and so on. And we have medical kits, and we will have 24/7 psychological and mental well-being support lines and so on. For us, that's important, that we keep with what is not only needed, but what we see as the trends of the future. So we are an interesting workplace to be in. You're right in talking about competition, because we are in a competitive environment, and there are only that many seafarers and only that many young men and women who decides to come into shipping, which for some people would be seen as an analog industry. But it is not at all, and we are certainly not an analog company. And it's very important for us to communicate that, and not only communicate, I would say, in terms of our objective, but actually delivering on it. And coming all the way back to my first statement, this is why we are having this podcast as well, because you know we need to reach people that they understand that this is what we're doing and this is how we're running the company. That's quite important for me.
And I imagine you mentioned about sort of the welfare point, how that's kind of permeating all parts of the business now. I imagine that's been quite a journey, like you say, from when you started. How else do you see things evolving culturally and just across Renault first, and then perhaps Katie, if you want to add?
Yeah. So I think if I look at disruption, and if I look at whether it be from a technology perspective or expectations or compliance, the world is in a complicated place. But I also think that the opportunities, if you embrace them, have never been bigger. So we are certainly doing everything we can to embrace whenever there is a technologically enhancing prospect, then we look at it. And if we can embed it, we do. We are so fortunate that we have invested a lot in our digital platform. We own it ourselves, so we can be pretty agile in adapting. but when we wrote the new strategy and launched it, I sort of looked at particularly four disruptors in shipping that I predicted would be the key themes of running a shipping company in the future. One of them being people on land and on sea, and we have talked about it. I mean, we need to continue training, nurturing our seafarers to wanting to have a seafaring career, but vice versa in the offices. Digital is going really, really fast. And so embracing that, both from an operational perspective, but also the tools for communicating on the vessels, I predict that we will have more and more tasks that are just done on the vessel. And once you are online permanently, you can see how that would just be an extended arm of our officers, as they should be. They are so well educated. They are so empowered, and they want to feel accountable for that. But then we are living in a, at times, complex world. So the whole decarbonization agenda that is coming, the whole compliance and sanctions that we're reading about in the newspaper all the time, it's a complicated affair to be in shipping. And for us, we want to be, and we are one of the biggest shipping companies, we want to be there to support shipping and help evolving and ensuring that we can address all this. Because if you're a small ship owner today, keeping up with this, it's difficult. And that's to a certain extent why people come to us, but it is also why people come and want to work for us, because we have the scale to make a difference that matters.
Yeah. And Katie, just anything to add, is that these are kind of, when you're speaking to the people that are coming to you or the people that are already in the business, are they as acutely aware perhaps as some of these, you know, these cultural shifts that are taking place?
Absolutely, they are, yes. And we have to remember about the young generation coming through, they will absolutely expect to have access to the best digital tools. And I remember your blog from last year, Rennie, about how we're basically slaves to our phones, which is so true, and it's just getting worse and worse. But we use our phones to manage every aspect of our lives. I think I would be much more worried if I lost my phone than my wallet, because everything's on there. We just do everything there. So we recognize that, and a lot of the engagement that we have with our seafarers is through apps now. You know, that's the best way to reach out to them, to give them sort of bite-sized content, and also to hand them control over as much as possible as well. So things like ship money, you know, it lets them control and have visibility over their wages and how to spend that and transfer it. And voyage loyalty, you know, this is another tool that we've got that we're introducing. And this is really just an engaging way for them to, well, for us to drive positive behaviours, but for them to know which tasks they should be focusing on and, you know, get some benefits and enjoyment from it at the same time. So there's a lot of fun we can have with it while also, you know, achieving our objectives at the same time.
Great. Okay. I think that's about all we've got time for. Thank you very much for joining me on Be Conversations, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to know what you think of the show. If you've got any feedback or questions, send them to comms@v.group. Speak to you on another episode of V Conversations soon.